Welcome back to Inside Sea Limits. Mike joined again, Trevor and Jack, here off a very disappointing 1-0 loss for St. Louis City. A lot of negatives to go around, and trust me, we'll get to them. But there are some positives we take from this game, like Ben Lunt sending an MLS career high with 8 saves. What did you think of Lunt this week, Trevor?
He looked good. The goal, he had a little bit of a late reaction on, but he made, like you said, 8 saves. Their XG was over 2, so only letting one in wasn't bad. He was the highest-rated player on City for the week. He looked good, and, you know, we said last episode we want to see him tested, but not too much, not like the LA Galaxy game, and we kind of saw that LA Galaxy game again, and unfortunately couldn't keep him off the score sheet.
Almost the worst-case scenario we talked about last week was, you know, the best version of Ben Lunt is the version we won't see. And the defense did not show up this week. Ben played about as well as you could, probably better than we all expected him to with those 8 saves. But it's just a game you don't want to see Ben Lunt involved too much in the game.
He was involved too early, too often. And we were pumping the tires of the defense all week last week, and it was a bad start. Olaf said it in the post-game presser. The first 10 to 15 minutes, they were just on the back foot the whole time, and we were lucky it was only one goal in that time frame.
You know, I have to feel partially responsible. I said last week in the preview pod that we only give up about 2.5, I can't remember the exact number, shots per game, and Lunt won't have to do that much. And then watching this game, I kind of felt like I should have knocked on wood or something.
Yeah, I know that we talked last pod about, first of all, Trevor was talking about us pumping the tires of the defense like we didn't hear multiple times at the end of our last episode. Why do you guys hate our defense? What do you guys have against the back line? And Jack was not. And then we had us talking about LA and saying, well, do we think could step in a game where it needs to make 8 saves? And I think that we had our answer, sadly.
And I think the answer is yes. I mean, one goal let up in that onslaught was very impressive. I stand behind my acknowledgement of you guys' dislike of the defense. I don't appreciate being mocked about it, Cole. I think you could have used a manlier voice there.
It was solid Jack impression.
I think Lunt played great. You know, he gave up one goal. I think he could have gotten it. He was a little slow to react to it, in my personal opinion. But, you know, it's just they had 18 total shots, 9 on target. He let one in. We know he's not Berkey. No one is expecting him to do what Berkey can do. But I thought this was a very outstanding performance from Lunt.
I do think that he played well, and I was impressed with his performance. I didn't think that we would see a game where he was making 8 saves, to be honest. I just this offense is where I'm starting to get a little frustrated. I know Lunt had, I think it was like 11 shots from inside the area. Not all of those are on target, but still, it's not like, you know, the game where he only had one shot on goal to save. He was busy last night, and I do think he looked pretty well. And if that offense gets going, I think it could look pretty good.
The offense is just terrible. I mean, under 0.2 goals expected. Just awful. They can't even work the ball. They actually had decent possession. This time is the highest possession they've had all season, actually winning the possession battle. Nothing dangerous. No good final balls. No shots on target. Just, I don't know. I don't know how to fix it. Olaf said it's quality on the ball from the individual players. There's not much he can fix except just the people need to take better touches, make better decisions.
When we were talking last week about, you know, throw Lunt into that Berkey 8 save game against the Galaxy, what do you get? I think we all would have said, you know, 3 to 4 goals he probably would have given up. So, yeah, Lunt only giving up one is really inspiring, I think. Obviously, the offense needs to be better, but I think we should really get into how that defense that just let us down this week. Cole, what do you think about that Kessler and Hebert this week?
I did some looking at their ratings on FootMob. I think we mentioned it earlier, but Lunt was our highest player at an 8.2. Kessler was second highest with a 7. According to FootMob, he completed the most passes of the match with 53 of 58 for 91%. And he was also the most accurate player in, or most accurate passer to play 45 minutes. So, I mean, he did in 72 touches, two tackles, one. You know, he had 12 defensive actions. I think Kessler really is the anchor that we keep saying of this back line. And I don't want to trash too much on Hebert because I know I'll hear about it from Jack, but he was okay, I'll say. He was okay.
The Kessler was good. He had to do a lot of work. I think looking at the defensive unit, they really didn't get much help from, you know, usually you see Durkin and Leuven involved more on that defensive side helping out. And in those first couple of minutes, those two were both a little slow. Leuven, especially in the box, getting crossed up a couple times. Watts didn't have much to do. Wallum and Watts again on the wingbacks, just, you know, average games. I just, that first 10 minutes, they played so bad as a unit defending, and that's where the Philly goal came from. I mean, the second half, they weren't too bad. They weren't giving up too many chances. So you can't point to like one individual defender playing awful, and that's the reason for the goal getting scored and losing this game. But just nothing impressive. And then as a unit, the first 15 minutes, they just couldn't get the ball out of their own, you know, defending third.
Yeah, rough first, at least first 10 minutes. You know, obviously they scored in the eighth, but I think we all kind of figured that Philly was going to get one when they had that throw in go in all the way into the box and then a header that went just wide. I think Lund actually had to make a save on that header, but that's definitely not – they looked really poor on set pieces all day.
It was mentioned a couple times in the presser too by Lund and Olaf about the wind direction. You know, they were against the wind in the first half, which affects it a lot, especially when you're trying to defend these set pieces and those long throws. You can't judge it as well. Like some of those long throws, getting all the way into the box and bouncing before it can get cleared or someone gets on the end of it. So I think even though that's unlucky that you have the wind against you, you didn't use it to your advantage in the second half. And then it's just poor preparation. You know, if the wind's that big of a deal, you can't start like you did. And yeah, that ended up being the difference.
I will note that, you know, we kind of talked about how that back line would look on the left-hand side this week. We had Horn at that left center back and then Wallum again out wide, which is, again, what I would prefer. I mean, unless you're going to give Bumgardle a start where Horn was, I was glad to see Wallum try to get a little bit more consistent at that left wing back position or left midfield or whatever you want to call it.
I did not like it. I thought I thought it was a huge step down from Toland. I don't know how – I can't remember how long they sit on Toland. I think it's like a month, but I he's going to be very sorely missed in my opinion. I didn't like it. I wish they would have put Wallum on the side and Horn on the left like I had predicted in my very well lineup suggestion, but our defense looked so flat, and it didn't look like there was a lot of help. And I don't know. We lost pretty much every ball in the air I can think of. Maybe Kessler won a couple, but it just felt like they were beating us over the top. And then, you know, Lunt was back there and helped some of the saves. The goal even was the header. So it's just defense felt really flat this game, not what we've been accustomed to seeing so far this season.
And Jack talked about Totland. We had Watts in his replacement on the right-hand side. I remember when the graphic came out, the starting lineup, Zielinski was included, and we were kind of thinking he might get a start or we might see him out in space, but nothing yet from the draft pick from this year. What did you guys think of Watts instead of Totland along the right?
Kind of what Jack said, just lackluster, you know, Totland, I think, fits that role better. That's why you see him there every game, and hopefully he can get better sooner rather than later. Hopefully that month doesn't turn into multiple months, kind of like the Klaus injury did. You know, those hamstrings, it's hard to have a timetable. Hopefully he gets better soon. I'd rather not rush him back because I think Watts is serviceable, but yeah.
I'm definitely hoping he experiments some more with that right back spot. For the next three, hopeful next 3-4 weeks that Tolland is out, because Watts was just uninspiring for me.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I thought I was going to like it more. I think I like Watts more, where he plays Morales and Durkin. And maybe we'll see that next week, when, because Leafin's got to serve that suspension. But yeah, I was not a big fan of Watts on the right. Like Mike said, I hope there's a little more experimentation that goes there.
I think that the one of the pressers, I can't remember, pre or post match, I remember Olaf saying that he was maybe looking at like having Wallum go out on the right hand side, and then you can maybe move like a Bumgardel or a Horn out wide on the left, or maybe a Hebert.
That's he said that last week or last Friday or something before the game. He said that Wallum could play on both sides, or he thinks he can play on both sides. So that opens up his options, and I think it's time to explore those. I didn't like Watts out there. I like him more in the middle. I thought he was way more effective, like the Colorado game when he was up the middle. I just feel like he lost some of that ability to play how he likes to play out on the right.
In Olaf's defense, though, the logical decision. I know Watts has played there in the past, when Totland was hurt originally in that game last week, he slid Watts out wide. So I think that was the right move to make. But you see it, you don't really get what you want out of it. And then I do think it's healthy to continue exploring other options.
For sure. Another area, and you know, I feel like this is going to be something we can all agree on here, that I think he needs to start tinkering more than he has been, is those front three, because it was just horrible this week.
Yeah, our offense has been just so terrible this, I don't even want to say this year. I feel like it's been the last year and a half. It's just been so lackluster. I don't even know how to describe it. It's just I think I said it last week before before Philly, that our defense is great. Our defense is outstanding. I had no worries about Lund. My worry was about the offense scoring goals, and yet, once again, no goals. That's what, three games out of our five?
Yeah. Just kind of what Olaf said in the presser, just lacks so much quality on the ball right now. Some of the big chances, I can think of the Betcher backheel, the toy shirt. Betcher didn't make a good run onto the ball. The ball was great, but he had to play it back. Good back heel, and then Toyshirt just hits it into the ground, and just easy for the defense to then clear. It's not what we saw in the last 10 games of last season, when you had Hartel, Toyshirt, Leuven all connecting, and just Betcher also just scoring goals, great finishes, great quality. It's the complete opposite this year. This was one of the first times they lacked even getting scoring chances. But, the last couple of games when they got some of these chances, they can't put them away. Toyshirt made a couple mistakes today. And I think it's time to, and Toyshirt last year, just, he would finish these balls, and Hartel, it's the same thing. We're just not seeing it this year, and it needs to either swap. And I just think giving Klaus a chance might help.
The better Toyshirt needs to end. You're not getting, I think they're too similar of players to work that well. You got to start putting Klaus with one of them up top.
Klaus generates so much offense. He's great on the ball. He's great off the ball. I'm really tired of seeing Betcher out there. I don't think Betcher really brings that much. I love Toyshirt is the same as Klaus. I think they're both chance creators. I think they can both put it away when they have the chance. And Hartel is the same way. I figured, you know, all three of them could really, really improve the offense. But I don't want to see Betcher starting anymore. I it's just not working.
I like Betcher, but I kind of agree with at least not having him start anymore. I think Betcher is kind of more in that super sub role, or at least that's how I picture him. Maybe bring a little bit of energy off the bench late in the game. I joke like it's a DP league, but you know, Klaus and Toyshirt are your two big names up top. We want to see them together and see what the potential of that partnership could be. But Mike, that graphic that you sent us earlier, it doesn't look like any or any trio up top is really looking good through our first couple games.
Your most successful duo has like the least amount of minutes. Klass and Toyshirt have 2 goals, the highest expected goal, and obviously the highest goals expected goals per minute. But they have 71 minutes. I mean, that's less than Betcher and Klaus. That's less than just Betcher. And Betcher and Toyshirt obviously have the most. That's the duo we've seen the most often up there. And Betcher and Toyshirt, this graphic says 115 minutes, 0 goals, 0.11 expected goals. That's crazy bad.
Yeah, that goes back to what I was saying, that Betcher and Toyshirt, they're just too similar players. You need a guy like Klaus up there with them, you know, getting people away from them. A big body guy that can actually get the ball and hold on to it. Klaus isn't going to try these little flick back heels because he can hold the ball and let the offense, you know, come up with him and get a run going. The Betcher Toyshirt needs to end. I mean, at this point, I'm kind of souring on Toyshirt a bit as well. He's, especially these last 2 games, he's just been so poor that, I mean,
yeah, but he was the only one who even generated a chance last time.
Yeah, but with his chances, he kicked the ball out of bounds and then he put one into the ground that should have been in. The goalie was out, not in position. He should have definitely had a shot on goal with that first chance. I know we were all watching. He just, you know, kicked it out of bounds. And then that second chance, that back heel, it should have been a goal. There's no goalie. The only thing is he had to beat a defender off the line. He had to just put that ball slotted away on the near side of the goal, and he just, again, took a terrible touch. I think it's time to, I'm not saying he should be benched, you know, forever. He just, we got to see a different top, even three up there. So, because I think Hartel is still playing well, but he's also just not on the front foot as much as he needs to be.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, what did Betcher do last game?
Nobody did anything. 0.16 per.
I know, but
XG.
But Betcher did. Toyshirt does more than Betcher night in, night out. And I don't think you can sit Toyshirt. I think Betcher is the obvious sit candidate.
I agree. Honestly, just because I don't know if money, I agree with that. I agree with it. The money right now is tied up in Klaus and Toyshirt. You got to give them the benefit of the doubt first before you start going to Betcher.
You can't be worrying about the money when your offense has looked as poor as it has. Toyshirt has had the most minutes up top besides, you know, Hartel, who I thought played an all right game. Nothing to write home about, though. And it's just not working. We need to – I think Betcher and Klaus need their time to shine and a chance to earn their minutes, because Toyshirt just – he's just looked so rough these last couple of games.
And we brought Hartel in to get the offense moving. Toyshirt we brought in to finish, and he just hasn't been finishing. So I see your point. To where last season, though, him and Betcher both finished. This season, just nothing. They just need more quality. And I did like seeing Celio come in. Like I said, if we want to get the offense moving and it's been stale all night, put subs in like Celio. But just he couldn't get going either. The whole team as a whole. I mean, that at that point you're down 10 men because of the Leuven second yellow. It, you know, that the whole team just couldn't get going forward, even with the wind in the second half.
And I think we'll talk more about the discipline issues and everything later. But while we're still kind of doing the Betcher Toyshirt debate, I had the numbers from FootMob, and it looked like Toyshirt had 19 touches. One in the opposition area. Betcher had 36 with 2 in that area. Toyshirt did have a higher XG than Becker, and he had a more accurate passing. He had 8 of 11. Betcher had 10 of 19. To be honest, I think that neither of them are really showing much, so I don't really have a big preference on who I would want up top, but at least the last couple weeks, after seeing what I've seen, I think I'm ready to go back to a Betcher-Klaus combination and see if that does anything. I don't know. I just think it's crazy how fast things can change. Like, Toyshirt was your best scorer at the end of the year, and now he's ice cold.
Not only is he ice cold in terms of putting back the net, he's not even getting shots on target, or shots in general. I'm pretty sure Betcher has outshot him playing less games, less minutes than Toyshirt. I think saw a stat that Boettcher's on eight shots, five on target to Toyshirt's 4 and 2. You just can't have that from someone like Toyshirt and continue to put him out there.
Especially when he's played the number 9 role almost exclusively.
You know, I'll tell you who I want to see. I want to see Klaus and Ostrock. That's who I want to see. But I do think Klaus and Toyshirt are your best 1-2. I'm tired of seeing Boettcher. I feel like all Boettcher does is miss his chances. And you can't have someone who's missed their chances when he scored 4 goals in 5 games.
So you'd rather someone get half as many chances as long as they're, I don't know, they both have 1 goal this year. So I really don't see as Toyshirt being a head and heels above Boettcher.
I think Toyshirt is great at what the score or the stat sheet won't tell you. I think he really, really moves our offense along. I just feel like he's more involved in the play than Boettcher normally is. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe that's just something I'm seeing or I'm feeling, but I just, especially this last game, it just kind of felt like Boettcher just wasn't there until towards, like, I think he had a shot from, like, near midfield halfway through the game or something like that, but...
Yeah, the goalie was off his line and chip him and missed. I remember being upset at that.
Other than that, I don't really feel like he was even there.
It's just so tough because I also try not to do this, but I get back to... Toyshirt was good last season, and he scored all these goals, so I want to see him because I've seen what he can do, but he's not doing it through the, you know, the limited minutes we've seen this season. It's just so crazy to me how quickly things can change in that regard. And then you bring in, like, a Cilio or an Ostrock to pair with them, but I don't know. I think that none offensively is making me think that I would want to be a part of this long term. I mean, Klaus hasn't been what we thought he was after the inaugural season. Toyshirt's starting slow. Boettcher's just a lone player. We have to remember that. And I don't know if Cilio or Ostrock are really strikers or finishers like that.
We did get to see some Cilio this week. Came on, what was it, like the 70th?
74th.
Nailed it. I mean, I loved him coming in and the energy he brought with him. Yeah, he's definitely not worthy of a start at this point. I don't want him to see. He needs to start playing around that front three. I mean, maybe start playing around the midfield, especially since Durkin's already racking up cards and we're going to be missing Leuven next week.
Can I read you guys this blurb from the ESPN MLS Power Rankings that came out earlier today? From Ryan Rosenblatt over at ESPN. I'll make sure he gets his credit. Great work, Ryan. That he dropped us down to 9. We were 8. The blurb says, City conceded their first goal of the season and promptly took their first loss of the campaign in Philadelphia. While this is unquestionably a good defensive team, it's not exactly clear where the goals are supposed to come from this very conservative setup, and that puts a hard ceiling on how good they can be. I've never read a more true paragraph about where City is right now. Without the goals, you know, we could tie 0-0 or win 1-0. We had that blowout in Los Angeles, but they need goals, and it might be time to look elsewhere.
It's weird to say, okay, we're, you know, however many games in, we're what, 4 games in, 5 games in? We're 5 games in, we've only given up 1 goal. Okay, we should be leading the West, right? No, we're 5th, just because we can't score. 2 draws and a loss. You're telling me we've given up 1 goal all season in 5 games? We've only won twice? I would be fine, you know, next game with Leuven out, why not just plug Ostrock in, you know, have an attack and or have Ostrock Morales instead of Durkin. You know, you obviously can't play Leuven. Have Cilio start out there. Do something to get the offense going. And if it doesn't work, if Austin comes in and beats you 3-0, I mean, okay. Or maybe 3-2. At least you gotta figure it out early. You can't just be sitting here 5 at the back, 2 defensive minded midfielders and expect to win every game 1-0. I just don't, it's just not working.
Yeah, maybe even going back to that 3-4-3 with, you know, Celio and Oshrak out wide could do, be a little more inspiring than what we've been seeing.
I know they like Oshrak in the middle, but you know, when Alm gets back, maybe when you talk about that 3-4-3, that would get me excited to have Celio and Alm both be out there on the wing, and then maybe play Oshrak in the middle. And you can bring these guys in, but you see, you brought Celio in for offense in the 74th, but at that point, you're down to 10 men. It's just too late. Maybe we see a start, see if we can get on the score sheet early. You get on the score sheet early, you protect that lead. I'd be totally confident in the 70, 80th minute protecting a 1-0 lead with our defense, but I'm just so scared you're never going to get that goal when you're on the back foot this whole time, then back. It's just, you're looking for a 0-0 draw at that point. And with some of these home games coming up, you really got to get these points. That's fine on the road. And in Philly, if we would have got 1 point out of that, it would have been huge because of how we played. But we didn't get on the score sheet. And, you know, that's tough. You got to get these 3 points at home. You got to start scoring.
Trevor, you talked about Alm. If he would fit into the system, because I don't remember him being – I know he's very quick out wide, but I don't really remember too much of his game, like, defensively.
No, that was my point, though. It would be an offensive lineup. Celio would be in there, too. Oshrak would be in – like, test it out. See, I mean, obviously he's injured right now, but I'm saying if they went to that 3-4-3 formation that Mike brought up, he would have to be out – I would rather have him out wide than Watts or something like that, because they like Oshrak central. – I would see Alm having more success on the wing if they did a 3-4-3, something like that.
Didn't he push Who went out wide when Oshrak came in a couple games ago?
Watts moved back to was that the LA Galaxy game?
No, that was
it was last week.
That was
last
Seattle. Week. He brought on Oshrak when they subbed out Tolan, but they had Watts slide back.
Yeah. I don't know if – I know that you guys aren't on social media, but I this week was the first time that I kind of saw some murmuring on the X about how they weren't really big fans of Olaf and the tactics, and he was kind of getting a little bit of the brunt of the blame for the loss, and I was – kind of interested. That was the first time I had seen that, and it's only been 5 games.
It's for sure. It's boring football, boring soccer. My apologies. You know what I'm talking about? People loved Carnell because of his energy drink soccer. You're winning games 5-3, 4-4, 4-2, stuff like that. That's what people love to see, is goals. So us, you know, like you guys said, we have one goal allowed, 4 goals? We're 5th, 2-2-1. It's not the most inspiring soccer you've ever seen. You can't argue with the results. Feels a lot better to, you know, if we were up 1-0, even with Ben Lunt back there, I'd feel almost like that's a guaranteed win at that point. It's just, from the fan perspective, I totally get it, because it is a boring style of play.
Like Trevor mentioned, it's just so hard to expect a goal. Like early on with Philly, I mean, what they score in like the
8th minute.
Really game plan for that. But you know, if you don't get an early goal, you're hoping for a 0-0 draw, or, you know, you're kind of hoping that they don't score, because I don't know if we can expect to get a 1-0 lead and sit on it when we can't score a goal.
It's boring, you know. I mean, Mike put it the best. It's boring to watch. It's
snooze fest.
It's boring to go into a game knowing that at max you're probably going to get 2 goals. You know, we got 3 against LA. That just feels like such an outlier. It stinks to sit there and watch your team and be like, I don't know if we're going to score today. I hope we don't concede, because then we'll have to try to play offense, and we don't look very comfortable playing offense.
It also sucks when you go on a bachelor trip and you bet on March Madness and lose all your college basketball bets, And then you say, well, I'm going to put some money on City tonight and win it all back. And then you go about 1-for-5 on your gambling picks.
I can't relate.
That was a pretty specific scenario there, Cole.
Mike was in there in that camp a little bit. I think that Mike was in that camp a little bit.
I wasn't 1-for-5. I was 0-for-1 and only moved on with my day.
The only bet that I hit was Maryland, and that was in our group parlay that failed immediately after.
Yeah, now see, I went 0-for-6. I had a really, really poor weekend. So that's why the last thing we'll ever do on this podcast is give you guys gambling advice.
I did pretty good on college basketball.
I think that I might give some City gambling advice, but certainly nothing March Madness related.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, if they had a prop bet Kyle Hebert team of the season, I'd put $50 on it, even after this performance.
Jack got him that $50 in bonus bets or whatever and was itching to place some bets.
And I lost small too, man. It was crazy.
The Leuven. You want to talk about? What do we want to talk about? The Leuven red card just being.
Do we want to talk about the softest red card in soccer history?
I honestly think, and Ben Lunt, I think said this. I think it was Ben Lunt, on the post match presser, that he thinks the referee didn't know Leuven was already on a yellow, and it was too late to put the card back in his pocket.
I had that exact thought when I saw it happen. Dude, I mean, I don't know if you guys remember or rewatched it today, but he pulled out that yellow for Leuven. And let me tell you, when they usually have that second yellow coming out, they already have the red in their hand, right?
Yeah.
He pulled that second yellow out and then just looked while everybody was staring at him. And then I swear he read his card, saw that Leuven already had one. And then, like, it was about 5-10 seconds before he pulled out the red. It's a very by-the-book yellow. You know, I mean, that's a delay of game. You're gonna get a yellow for that all the time. Philly got a delay of game yellow earlier. It's just that being a second yellow, it's rough. And it's rough we're going to miss him next week versus Austin.
That ref was just terrible. I think when I looked, each side committed like 18 fouls apiece. I mean, that's crazy.
That's kind of par for the course for these two teams, though, isn't it? You know, Carnell with the energy drink football, and I think we're up there in fouls this year, too.
It just didn't necessarily – it was a little chippy, but, like, it didn't feel like it was a game that was out of control. I feel like the ref was very involved, and he really didn't need to be as much.
You know, I think these MLS refs need to know where they're at. You know, this isn't Europe, all right? We're not UEFA. This is CONCACAF football. It's going to get a little chippy. That's okay. No one's throwing punches. I mean, Leuven kicked the ball and got a red card. Even if the ref didn't realize it, that's just crazy. Morales played like 20 minutes, got a yellow card. It's just, it's out of hand. In my opinion, it's just it's brought up all these freaking yellow cards.
The Leuven red card, you know, I honestly don't think you can be mad at it. For one, that's a stupid thing to do when you're already on a yellow, because that's the delay game's a guaranteed yellow. They've been cracking down on that all year, and they already did it earlier. So that's more on Leuven than the ref. But I get what you guys are saying that. They are getting a little involved. I think the only actual chippy moment was Hebert and Klaus after the game, but Hebert got a little.
Hebert also got a yellow. Hebert got a yellow in the first half. Jack's Canadian boy wonder.
Boy wonder. I think he's like our age. I think he's 27 or 28. I don't know if he's a boy wonder anymore.
I think he's older than us.
Was it Durkin and Morales got the other two yellows?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
two for Leuven, Durkin, Hebert, and Morales. I mean,
Durkin's got a couple more for you. He gets those suspensions. No, doesn't
I think CONCACAF's like 9. I feel like they don't care.
I think we're good for a Chris Durkin yellow card accumulation suspension about once a year.
Oh, for sure. Once or twice a year, he'll give that. Just hope it's not a U.S. Cup game or something.
Did anyone see the like? I don't even know if it was an incident or a spat. I don't know what you call it, but I saw some things that I guess Klaus was like getting in Carnell's face after the match or was trying to talk to him and got snug? Anyone see that?
I saw the moment. I saw a video of the moment. And it looked like they were definitely exchanging words. I sent a picture where Klaus is getting held back and it looks like they're just yelling at each other. I honestly thought that that was a nothing burger, to tell you the truth. I mean, we all know Carnell lost the locker room last year. So very well could have been something that stemmed from that. Klaus is usually a pretty level-headed guy. I think it's not like him to kind of, you know, he's not a guy who plays through emotions. So, I don't know. I thought that was a whole nothing burger. It's definitely blown up. I've been seeing clips and breakdowns and some lip-syncing videos of it.
Yeah, I think people just like the drama. I'd have to agree. I don't really think it's was anything more than what we saw.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. Well, I kind of read into it. You know, maybe Carnell comment. I'm sure Klaus was frustrated on not starting and, you know, not even playing much at all recently. Maybe Carnell said something about that and said, you know, this is the issues I had last year with. I don't know. I don't think it was much. I think Klaus is probably just frustrated. And then especially losing. Yeah, I agree, though, with Mike. I don't think there's too much into it. Like, we don't have to read too much into it.
To me, all it really says is issues in the locker room last year with Carnell were worse than we all thought. Because Klaus was pretty worked up about something. I don't, you know, Carnell could have said something to him. I don't know, but the decision we made to move on Carnell, even though Philly is just beat us and is, what they're, are they first in the East now? Yeah, first in the East. I still think it was the right decision to move on from Carnell at that point.
Just to update you guys, I'm on the MLS competition guidelines page. Five yellow cards, and you get a suspension.
That was Durkin's second, I believe.
Durkin and Hebert both got their second.
Durkin's definitely getting at least one, like Jack or Mike said, possibly two this year.
So now, for Leuven, do those two yellow cards count against him?
That part I don't know since he got the red on the second one. I'm not exactly sure. It doesn't go into that specific of a detail. Mm-hmm. This is also
in the report every Friday. So I guess we'll
this
see
is that. Also a cool thing. It's called the Good Behavior Incentive. If you go five games without a yellow card, they reduce your yellow card accumulation by one.
Well, that will never happen with Durkin.
We're out.
But Durkin. There is a clarifying case that it cannot go into the negative, so you can't bank your good behaviors against further yellow cards.
I mean, Durkin's only played two games, right? And he's got two yellow, or four games. And he's got two yellows in four games.
It's also a $250 fine when you get your fifth yellow card.
$250, that's it?
$250.
I'd go broke paying this team's yellow card fine, though. That's a shot at how many yellows we get and my bank account right now.
Double whammy.
Jack, if you had to wrap up this game, this match week, in the one sentence as we look forward to Austin, what are you thinking?
You know, I'll give you a great quote on it. I'll say the windshield's bigger than the rearview mirror. It's time to forget. Live and let this one go. Rough game for everybody. Everyone's got rough games, but time to move on. Austin, I think, is on a heater, so time to move on to Austin.
Is that direct quote from Franklin?
That is from Franklin.
Cole, what do you think?
My quote is also from my quote is also from Franklin, and it is, sometimes the best offense is a good defense, and that's what City has. So I think we trust in Lunt and Berkey until we get line. King Kess has been great. Sometimes the best offense is a good defense.
Yeah, I didn't know. No one texted that we were doing quotes, so I didn't have one ready, unfortunately. I'm just going to go with, it's a disappointing loss. one that you can definitely take some positives from, but move on, move quick. Like Franklin said, there you go, I found my quote. All champions have a short memory. Trevor, anything you want to add to that?
Mike, that's a pretty long sentence. That's all I'll say.
There's some commas and some semicolons.
The run on, if I've ever heard one.
Yeah, mine was definitely run on.
My quote is basically like the same as Mike's. It's just from Ted Lasso, though. Just got to be a goldfish, you know. 10-second memory, happiest animal on earth. Short memory. Go into next week and hopefully score some goals.
Yeah. Before we get off, we'll give you a quick update. Nothing changed. Hard for things to change when your team doesn't score a goal. So still two, Jack and Cole tied at top with two, me with one, Trevor with zero.
Is it? Can I just like not play anymore? Is there an option to just not play?
I'm already picking out a space on my wall for this signed Heber jersey.
You might have to start guessing some 0-0 draws.
That's what I should do. Honestly. If I start guessing 0-0 draws and then like Berkey, Ben Lunt, man of the match, or Kessler, man of the match.
I want a clarification. If somebody says no goal scorer and no one scores, they get a point.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Get the score correct, right?
Yeah, but you can't guess 2-0 City and then say no goal scorer. I think that's fair.
Yeah, that's true. All right, I can't say nothing City and then just throw a name up there just to see if a goal would have been scored. That'd be my goal scorer.
No,
I think if you go nothing, you go no goal score.
Right, yeah.
It's kind of betting against yourself there.
Yeah.
Christ.
You can't be a hater and then try to profit from it.
Yeah, what he said.
Yeah, quote from Franklin.
That was from Ted Lasso, I think.
Oh.
Great show.
That's going to do it from us here at Inside Sea Limits. We're just going to be looking forward on to the next one. So we'll see y'all Friday morning as we look forward to Austin. Go City.